joining the elements of this particular day, of this episode. In Acts chapter 3, verse 16, referring back to the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Peter says, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Because then after that he returns to those, his hearers, to apply what he has to say. We might see Genesis chapters 1 and 2 as something of summary statements setting out the first creation. And perhaps we could see Acts chapters 1 and 2 as summary statements of the new beginning, the new age of Christ and of the Spirit. Not that they're entirely separate, but there is a new tone. That introduction of the Spirit that is set out in chapter 2. But then following that, from chapter 3 onwards, we get a number of specific events and occasions and discussions and sermons and so on that set out the growth of the Church of Christ in this new era, the New Testament age. And it is through the apostles in particular that the Lord and the Spirit are doing this work. And this is the first, chapter 3. There were certain summary statements at the end of chapter 2 about the church gathering together, the things they did and so on. But these things reappear in the following chapters. So here is the first given to us in detail of some of the things that were taking place. For example, in chapter 2, it told us that they were very much in prayer. They continued daily in the temple in chapter 2:46. And here we read of Peter and John, two of the apostles, going up to the time of prayer in the temple as they continued those practices. We also read in the first part of the chapter through to verse 10 especially, we read what is, I think, a fairly well-known story for folk growing up in churches, in Sunday schools or holiday clubs. There's words in verse 6 that have been used in a children's song. And so perhaps that part of the story where there's a man who is lame beside the temple, Peter and John come, they say, "I can't give you anything that you're looking for, the money to help you, but I can give you something better." And he rises up, he walks for the very first time in his life. In some ways, it is also like certain parts of the gospel accounts, the accounts of the Lord Jesus himself doing the work directly by his own words amongst men, where you have certain events taking place and then instruction, teaching that follows, a development of the things that have been seen, that have been witnessed by the people. And I think that is what we do have in this chapter. It might be tempting to focus on the first part in that story of the lame man being healed, and then to treat the second part separately. But I think there is a strong connection between them, which is why I pointed us to verse 16 at the beginning. Peter is making a connection. He says the same thing that brought that wholeness, as he calls it in verse 16, that wholeness to this man in his legs, that same thing is what we should be concerned about in your hearts. You who have resisted the Lord Jesus, denied him and killed him. So it belongs together. It's not just that story of an amazing action that took place, and then the rest is another part. They belong together. And we might see it, the choice of words, even to choose to describe him as coming to perfect wholeness as we have it here in English. It's a tremendous description of what he's looking for in the hearts of the men that he's speaking to. At the end of the chapter, he says, turning away every one of you from your iniquities. That's about another form of perfect wholeness. It's a cleansing. It's a healing. And in the Bible, the words healing and salvation, especially in the Old Testament, are so closely related. At times we've found them translated interchangeably. There's a range of meaning that belongs together. But perhaps the distinctive thing that we have in this chapter, which is set out more in detail by Peter's little sermon that we have here, is the attention given to the name, as he calls it, the name. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. This name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Verse 6. And he is appealing to his hearers now to also put their faith in his name, this name. And then they would find that their sins are blotted out, and they would find refreshing that would come from the presence of the Lord in verse 19. These are exactly the things that we continue to need to hear, and perhaps for some, for the beginning of a life of faith, for all of us to continue in that life, to remain in that way. I think we've remarked a few times how we've been taking these continuous readings, morning and evening, and how in quite remarkable ways at times there is a connection. This evening we'll be looking at reading Luke chapter 10, where it talks about the disciples or the apostles going out to preach and to heal, and they come back so excited at the very similar works where the Lord Jesus had commended them to take, the Spirit had was enabling them even in his day. And here we find a continuation of that. And so we seek a similar continuation still today. And it would seem to me that the key things that we need to observe in this chapter, yes, it's a full chapter, and I'm sure there are details that would be good to spend further time on, but I want to get the overall picture of what is going on here and the key things that we need to take with us. And the first thing to draw your attention to is that we're not looking at the world's answers. It's none of the world's answers that are offered here. Then to see that instead it's the name which is the great gift. And then thirdly, the emphasis on faith, renewed by faith. So none of the world's answers, the name is the great gift, and renewed by faith. Let me open these a little further. So none of the world's answers in the first place. What do you do with and what do you do for a man who's been lame from birth, especially 2,000 years ago? Perhaps things could be done with surgery and treatment and so on these days. We don't know if it was an accident at birth, if it was some deformity in the womb, a genetic deformity or something. We just don't know. But he was a man. He was in mature age, but he had never been able to walk. And so all this time, presumably for a considerable time, many years perhaps, he was brought to this place. And it happens all over the world that there are people who are disabled and unable to work and to bring in money, and they are put into a place. Their families take them regularly to a certain place, and they beg and they bring in money and contribute to the family in that way. This was his pitch here by this gate called Beautiful in the temple precincts. Every day he was found there. People were familiar with him and would be giving, it's called here, alms or charity. It's giving out maybe a few pennies at times, maybe a bit more. But none of it was dealing with the root of the trouble. None of it was dealing with his big trouble. It was simply alleviating the impact to some degree. It was providing some income to be able to continue living. And what more can be done? And Peter comes along and says, I can't even do that. We don't have anything. Earlier than this, we read how everyone in the church was giving to those who had need, but it would seem by this time, and Peter hadn't been fishing for a while, so he had nothing in his pockets, nor did John. We can't do that. We don't have it. So what has been your lifeline, he says to this man, we can't help you. But that's not really what is most helpful for you, is it? No one had the ability to really solve this man's problem, even in his legs. No one has had the ability to resolve the problem until now. And in the same way that we find it with the second part of the chapter, here were people who, in verse 17, were ignorant of Jesus, what he was all about, who he was. They had never known the real resolution to their root problem, the deep problem. There had been a superficial treatment. There had been it's a bit like perhaps you get skin blemishes and you treat them with a cream or something. But perhaps the root of the problem is something deeper. It's what you eat. It's how you treat your life. And it's very like that when it comes to the second part of the chapter, that there are so many things that have been going on. We just read in Numbers of the daily sacrifices or the annual sacrifices. And they were dealing with the surface, if you like. Although faith would take them deeper, even then. But so far, the root problem has not been dealt with. I'll take you back as well to the occasions when Jesus was at work and did healing work. It always had a spiritual indication. There was a time when two of his disciples asked him to have special places with him in his kingdom. And he said, no, I can't do that. Almost immediately after, a blind man came to him and said, I just want to be able to see. And Jesus said, you will see. Why does he do that? I think these things were all pointing to a spiritual significance. The blind would see, not just in body, but also in spirit and in heart, to understand. The deaf would hear. Ears would be hearing at last and understanding. The lame walked to go about their father's business. Lepers were cleansed. No longer men would be outcasts from the presence of God. The dumb could speak, bear witness to the Lord. Demons were cast out. Evil is set back and cleansed. And the dead were raised. And we are dead in trespass and sin. Those great healing works of the Lord, our Lord Jesus, we're all pointing to something deeper, a greater issue that man has. And so it was being opened up again in the works of the apostles. But it wasn't just what was done for the man in his legs that mattered. This was another sign. It was pointing so that men would come and would seek out and find the even greater healing and salvation and wholeness that men need. Not just a temporary relief. That man had some of the world's answers every day. He was given some money, he would take it, but he'd have to come back again and do it all over again. Just as it was with the sacrifices, they were not complete. They had to be done again and again. They were temporary, they were repetitive. That's the way it is with all the world's religions, still today. All the others too. It's repetitive. It's me providing my own answers. It's the world offering the answers. Human wisdom. let me do something to earn my freedom. And then it comes around all over again. It hasn't been resolved at all. So you find that combination in this chapter. It's there in the body, physically. It's also an issue, the great issue, in the heart of man. Man tends to deal with the things on the surface, the things that can be seen and felt. And even then, struggles at times to answer all of these things. There was an author who died this past week, Sir Terry Pratchett. He was looking for the world's answers. The poor man had Alzheimer's, and I really felt for him. It was very sad years, though he put as much as he could into it in his own way. But they were the world's answers, and the time came when he was wanting to make a choice about his own death, but it was taken from him. People look for the world's answers, and they never satisfy. They have to be repeated, something else has to be found. What if Peter had come along and after one of those great fishing expeditions that he'd had, he had a huge bag of gold and silver, and he gave it to this man, he'd be set up for the next 3 years perhaps, but then he'd have to start all over again. Peter comes with something bigger, something better. And so too, there is perhaps deep down, I think for everyone, there is deep down the question, what must I do to be saved? But so many remain ignorant while Jesus is set out before them. Peter doesn't offer the world's answers. He says it. I don't have those things that you've been depending on. Let me give you something else to depend on. You can stand on your own 2 feet for a start. Well, that's one of the most amazing things, that he was a man, a mature man, who had not once in his life stood on his own feet, on his own. What does he do? He stands, he walks, he leaps about. I've stood on my own feet. I don't know when I started walking exactly, but I've stood for a good many years and I can hardly leap about. But he was. All of a sudden, straight away, the answer was provided. And it was through the name. The name is the great gift. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I bring you the Lord Jesus, he said to those further on. This is the one. Look at him. Look at what you've done to him. But if you would repent, if you would be converted, you might have the times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. This is the new way. This is the better way. Jesus himself taught his apostles, his disciples, he said, John 14, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it's not just adding the name of Jesus to whatever we want. It's to be in his name, truly in his name. We need to remember that in the Old Testament, the name of God, of the Lord, was always much more than just a mere label. It was descriptive. It was really like, well, if you look into him, if you take his name, you'll discover something of him. That's the one who calls on the name of the Lord in Peter's previous sermon. It's the one who would call on him, it would rely on him to be at work on your behalf. It's to put your hopes in his help. Call on the name of the Lord. It's to confess him to be mighty to save. And so much more. To remember his name is to remember his works, to remember all that he is and all that he does. And it's in that same way that Jesus brings the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He doesn't do it in his own right. doesn't say I have the strength, but I bring, as it were, Christ is in me at work in your life. It's not the sound of the word, it's not just the letters that we might pronounce, it's not just a mere repetition of this word Jesus. That's not what it's about. In the name of Jesus, will you respond to that name? Will you put your trust in him? Who? The one that he teaches, the one that has preached, the one who has been preaching, the one who's been living with the people, the one who has been working amongst the people. That's the one that I rely on as I speak to you, that I rely on and I call for this blessing upon you. Will you receive it? Will you put your trust in him? Peter spoke of the one that was announced even in the Old Testament scriptures, who was himself the great work of God. He's saying those things are fulfilled in this Jesus. They are complete. Therefore his name, not only the name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, not only that name, but this name Jesus is also a name of power. Perhaps we might see too that for many what they had before was the name of the Lord, and often seemed to have understood him as very distant. He was, it's right that we understand him as vastly different from ourselves. But many saw him as distant, unreachable. They couldn't satisfy him. For any of those around, and still today, whether a man was lame or whether he's burdened by his sins, the first part or the second part, for many there was no sense of escape, no sense of being able to find freedom. But with the appearance of Jesus, with the works that were done in his name, with him fulfilling what the prophets had been announcing, with him providing a new way, a new life. The apostles give a demonstration of that power through the lame man walking. And then they can turn to all around and say, look at what this Jesus has done. Look at what God has done in him and for him through this Jesus. But look at what Jesus has been about, and remember that first and foremost it was about bringing forgiveness of sins to men, that great bondage that we've all been burdened by. This is this Jesus. He's been pointing towards this. All the work that he's been doing is to say, hear him. And he pronounces forgiveness for those who call on his name, who believe in him. To you first, at the end of the chapter, chapter 3, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Not just about a lame man leaving his lameness behind, but about men turning away from that way of wickedness, iniquity, only possible by coming to this Jesus, receiving him as God has sent him. And so that's the great thread that runs through this chapter, the call, the response that is called from all who hear the Lord Jesus and hear of him, the response of faith, renewed by faith. The renewal of this lame man, the renewal of men's hearts, is by faith. That's that connecting verse in verse 16. Peter goes back, he's begun to talk about Jesus from verse 13, and then he goes back in verse 16 to point to this man again and say, just look how he received healing. It was in this name of Jesus. It was by receiving that name, by faith. He heard the name, he believed, he stood. It's wonderful how Peter raises him, takes his hand and helps him, but he stood, having received that word of power by faith. And that is also, by implication, that's also how to receive Jesus for his great purpose. Verse 19, he says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's what I want for you, Peter says. So that you will come to perfect wholeness as well in your heart. That you will find those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There have been obstacles in the way before. But he has come. Will you receive him? That the way might be opened, with your sins cleansed. Now as he preaches from verse 13 onwards, Peter does not say, it's not recorded at least as him saying, "Believe." But that's the implication by including what he says in verse 16. He's speaking about this Jesus, and he says, that's the person. It's by faith in his name that this man has been changed. You too can be changed. Repent. Convert. Change. It can only be in this very same way. That's the type. That's the sign. That's the direction to be followed in your great need as well. You're walking around. You have been for many years. But there's been that burden in your heart as well, isn't there? That you can't leap about and praise God. But receive this name of Jesus. Receive Jesus and find that wholeness yourself. And that's why I read on to the end of verse 4 in chapter 4. That it tells us that the transformation did take place in many lives. Why? Simply because they heard and they believed. It wraps it together. These were people who were joined to the church. That believing was effective, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. There's a great gift. It's nothing like the world gives. The great gift of the Lord Jesus. What are we going to do with it? What did this man do? Why did he not say, "Well, that's not much help to me. I just need some money"? But he took Peter's hand. Peter got his attention. He knew this word was serious. It was very pointed. Rise up and walk. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you most need? You can do it by receiving the name of the Lord Jesus. What do you most need? Sins blotted out? Turn from our iniquities? This is the way. There was a man lame. What does the world offer? Give gifts, money to help him through life? And that's good. What does the world offer? It might offer surgery to transform his legs, and he goes through physiotherapy for years and he is able to do something. Well, it's good. The apostles had none of those things in their toolbox, in their medicine chest, or in their wallet, and not even in their mouth. They had something else. And who can want more? You find that with a word that is received by faith, it's more than enough. He didn't just hobble around, he didn't just walk, he didn't just run, he leapt. More than enough. He had never known life without being able to walk. Never walked. The men that Peter talks about, those that crowd that was fascinated, they had never known life without that great weight of sin, Christian and pilgrim's progress. They had never known life without it. And none of us have. None of us have known life without that burden, unless or until we hear, truly hear, receiving, trusting Him, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's only that. It's all of that. It's utterly effective, but only on its own, to bring about that great cleansing, the turning, the refreshing, Jesus Himself. Maybe it's a good thing when the church is at the point of saying, we don't have any money to give you. We can't do any of those things that you've been wanting. There's a story, F.F. Bruce, in his book, he tells a story of, it's nothing in itself against Catholics, but it was somewhere in the Vatican where there was a cardinal was counting out, going through the accounts, and a friend came by, and the cardinal turned and he said, well, we can't say that anymore, I don't have silver or gold to give you. And his friend turned and he said, well, perhaps it would be good to get back to that day and have just the one thing that we can give people. We need to be under that compulsion. That's why I pray where churches seem to prosper, it's a very dangerous place to be. But we need to be compelled to see what we do have. That's the beauty, I think, of what Peter and John said there. What would I do? I'd go by a beggar and say, I'm sorry, I don't have any change. Peter said, no, I don't have any change, but I'll give you something. And what a difference it made. And he was giving it to all those who were themselves so troubled of spirit in ordinary everyday life. And they came, they saw this amazing thing, and he gives them an effective word, the gospel of Christ Jesus. It's this wonderful thing, the priceless thing, the call to men to put their trust in the name. Do you remember when there was another lame man who was brought to Jesus by his four friends? And the first thing Jesus said to him was, your sins are forgiven. And there was a discussion, at least in people's minds, and he comes with an answer. He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he turned to this paralyzed man and he said, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. People could test that. It was something they could see. But it was to demonstrate that his word was true. His word to give men working legs, his word to give men clean hearts. Well, that's what you have in exact combination in this chapter. If he's the one who, by his name, through his people, can give strength to lifelong lame legs, is he not the one to believe in? For that one thing we must deal with first. Everything else is worthless if this is not dealt with, the forgiveness of sins, that we might find peace with our God. So whatever your sins, even so far as killing the Prince of Life, whatever your sins, come to Him with faith in His name. However long you have been trusting Him, be sure to keep Him only as the foundation for your life. I can only go so far now this morning, but we would seek God's blessing, that His word be effective in us, that we might receive it by His Spirit. We'll close together by singing, and we'll sing in Psalm 23.